Morning. Today's daf in tomorrow's daf beis, which of course means that we're opening up and starting the new Masechta. Masechta tomorrow deals, for the most part, with the Isser in the Torah of tomorrow, and so with just but a brief introduction. We know that once a carbon is inputted with Kedusha Seguf, with intrinsic Kedusha, which means that the animal itself is going to be offered as a carbon, so that animal now is a non-redeemable entity. As it is now such, assigned as a carbon, so it can only be brought as a carbon and you cannot do anything else with it. You can't redeem it, and not only can you not redeem it, but you can't exchange it as well. Let's say in your mind you say to yourself, look, this carbon that I offered, that I set aside as a carbon, it's very nice, but I have an animal that's even better. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to just simply transfer the Kedusha from this animal to another animal. I'm not redeeming the animal, I'm just giving it an upgrade. So one could consider that that would be very nice. So to that, the Torah says, no, you can't do that. You can't exchange the Kedusha from one carbon to another carbon, from one animal to another animal. And it doesn't matter whether you're going up in value or whether you're going down in value. It simply does not matter. So there is no substitutions. Not only are there no substitutions, but there are no exchanges as well. So this is the Isser in the Torah of Temura. Temura actually means an exchange. This is the last mitzvah mentioned in Sefer Vayikra. As you get to the tail end of Sefer Vayikra and Perichav Zayin, and I know, being that we just learned through Erechin, so Erechin dealt exclusively with Perichav Zayin, so Temura does as well. In fact, if you take a look at the last psukim in Perichav Zayin, so the Torah there introduces us to the idea of Temura. Actually, there it's in the context of Maaser Behema. I will discuss more of that a little bit later on. But in the meantime, however, v'lo yivakir bein tov l'ra, v'lo yimarenu, so you're not allowed to make any kind of selection between good or bad, meaning this is a description of the Maaser Behema, where the animals are coming out of the pen, and they must come out indiscriminately. The animals have to come out just basically as they come out. And v'im hamer yimarenu, and the Torah says, don't exchange it for the Kedusha of something else. V'im hamer yimarenu, now what if you attempt to do so? And this is going to be a big part of the discussion here in the first parak of Temura, and that's the following. The Torah gives us a really interesting dichotomy between one idea is, don't do it. Meaning it's an issue in the Torah, one cannot effect an exchange or a substitution between one animal and another, between the caduceus carbon of one animal, and try to put it into another animal. So on one hand, the Torah says, don't do it. So it's an issue, and it's an issue gumbo, it's alive, and we're going to be talking a lot about that here in the first parak. On the other hand, the Torah says, and what if you do, in fact, exchange the Kedusha? V'ayahu usmura soyeh kodesh. So it and its counterpart are going to have Kedusha. So that means to say that the Torah is extraordinarily clear that on one hand, don't do it. On the other hand, if you do it, it has a certain amount of effectiveness to it. Okay. And that's obviously going to be an idea that comes up again and again, where on one hand, the Torah says not to do something. On the other hand, the Torah recognizes the validity of the action in which you've done to a certain degree. And that is in of itself interesting. We're going to come back to that point a little bit later on. Okay, so that's it. That's the basics. That's what we need to know regarding the halachas of Temura as its most basic halacha. And now let's begin. We are taking a look together now at the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah begins, Akol Mamirin Echad Anashim Ve'Echad Nashim. So everyone could affect Temura, both men and women. Not because you're allowed to affect Temura, but if that means to say that if you've done so, it's going to be effective. You're subject to Malkus. Okay, so a lot of things to be discussed over the course of this Mishnah. Notably, number one, the tension. Right, we're going to keep seeing this tension again and again. So the Mishnah opens up with the statement of, if you do Temura, you know, men could do it, you know, women could do it, everyone could affect Temura. And then the Mishnah says, oh, but you know, you really shouldn't be doing it. And of course, don't do it. And not only that, if you do it, you're going to get subject to Malkus. So really don't do it, meaning it's an Isser. So we move in the Mishnah, we transition the Mishnah from, you know, everybody could do it, men and women could do it, and to the point of, well, you know, you don't really want to do it because it's an Isser in the Torah. And that is the basic issue which we're going to be taking up over the course of this morning. The other issue, which is obviously noteworthy, is that you're so focused on Rabbim, you're going to be subject to Malkus. Subject to Malkus, the Isser in the Torah is lo yamir, is that one is not allowed to affect an exchange. So you're going to be subject to Malkus. What about the fact that it's a lav shem b'maisa? Meaning, what do you do in order to affect Temura? You simply articulate, you verbalize, and you say that this animal is going to be exchanged for this animal. And if all that is verbalization, this is what falls under the category of Lav Shem B'maisa, and you're going to get Malkus for that, good. So that's something I'm going to highlight right now, and the Gemara is going to come back to a little bit later on. Tosus has an interesting question over here. One set of Malkus, how about two sets of Malkus? Tosus over here opens up the discussion. Vim Tomer, second Tosus on the Amud. Amailo Tani Shmonim. You should be subject to 80 lashes, meaning two sets of Malkus. Lo Yachlifenu V'lo Yamiroso. The Torah says that you're not allowed to exchange it for something else, and you're not allowed to substitute it for something else. And so isn't there a dual Isser in every time that you do so? See Tosfos for a couple of suggestions in terms of why it's not 80 Malkus, but rather it's just 40 Malkus. It's just one set of Malkus. Anyway, we're going to come back to our Gemara. So our discussion right now is going to revolve around the following. The tension in the Mishnah. The Mishnah opens up with Hakol Mamirim, right? If I can remind you, let's go back to Chulin, where the opening Mishnah over there is Hakol Shochten. Now, Hakol Shochten, everybody does Shechita, meaning, and it's something which we'd want to do, meaning it's a preferred activity. Our Mishnah over here says Hakol Mamirim, like this is a preferred activity. It's not a preferred activity. We know so from the Mishnah. And so we open up with the Gemara's question, Agufa Kasha, Amar Hakol Mamirim Lechatchila. So first it says, Hakol Mamirim, and everyone could affect more of it as if it's something we should be doing. And then the Mishnah backs into a position of, well, you know, you're not allowed to. You're not permitted to do Temura. Skip the parentheses. Dievid. And that would mean then that only if I did so, but Dievid would it be okay, but Lechatchila shouldn't do it. V'tizbra Hakol Mamirim Lechatchila. So the Gemara says, even in our Havamina, the way we originally read the Mishnah, where the Mishnah started off by saying Hakol Mamirim, and we thought it meant Lechatchila. The Gemara right now is saying you can't entertain such an idea because pasuk in the Torah, Adikashlach Mimasis and Tikshlach Kra. Before being bothered and upset by the Mishnah, well, what about the pasuk in the Torah? Dechsev lo yechlif and lo yamir so. So on one hand, the Torah says that you're not allowed to be machlif and you're not allowed to be maimer. You're not allowed to exchange the animal from the carbon from one animal to another animal. So why, in fact, would it be that the Mishnah is offending you when meanwhile you know the pasuk in the Torah? And the Havamina that we would have thought that Hakol Mamirim means that Lichatchila we should do Temura, and the pasuk itself tells us that it's an Isser, it's an Isser Gomor. So Elam Rav Yehuda, Hachi Kitani. So this is how we're going to have to read the Mishnah. Hakol Matfisin B'Temura. Echad Anashim Echad Anashim. So over here, when we see the words in our Mishnah, Hakol Mamirim, so Rav Yehuda Marav, no, I'm sorry, just Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that the correct way to understand the Mishnah is basically effectiveness. Meaning, we are not endorsing, we're not condoning, we're not a proponent at all to the idea that one should affect Temura. You shouldn't. The Pasuk already tells us, Lo Yachlif and Lo Yamiroso. Don't do this transfer of Kedusha. What the Mishnah is talking about, and this is a way to understand it from the very beginning of the Mishnah, is just simply effectiveness. If I had either a man or a woman effect Temura, so would it be effective? And that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying is yes. In fact, don't do it. Lo shadam rashai lahamir. She meimir sofek etzar baim. You know that if you do it, you're going to be in fact subject to malchus of 40 lashes. All the Mishnah is telling us is that everyone has the ability to affect more, both men and women together. Now, hakol asui emai. Okay. So now that we understand the Mishnah correctly, and the Mishnah is not giving us an endorsement, a ringing endorsement to engage in this kind of behavior of exchanging Kedusha from one animal to another animal, fine, so now we know that. And the Mishnah is only talking about the effective nature of this act that's done. So we have the word Hakol, and we do this throughout Shas. What is the word Hakol coming to teach us? So, in Chulin, remember we spent about the first 3 to 4 blot deciphering what exactly Hakol means over there. Who are we coming to include? Who else can shecht other than your usual suspects? So over here, when it comes to Temura, so when the Mishnah opens up with the words Hakol Mamirim, obviously we're looking to include people who we might have thought been somewhere in the bubble, and somewhere where, and you might have thought that people that can't affect Temura. So in the Mishnah, we've already covered men and women. That's a large segment of the population. So who is left now that we're looking to include in terms of who can affect Temura? Hakol Asuri Amai Lasure Yasuri Yarish Udilok Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe somebody who would have been on the bubble and we're looking to include is a Yarish, somebody who stands to inherit. His father has an estate. As part of the father's estate, the father has karbanos, okay, that he was looking to offer. But unfortunately, his time passed out before he anticipated doing so, and I think that's generally how it works. So the father died before he figured he would, and now it leaves these karbanos to his son, and so now his son inherits the karbanos. And so now, does the son bring the karbanos up on the mizbech? So for the most part, yes. The chatas he does not bring, right? That's chatas shemesu ba'alaha. A chatas where the owner died, so the chatas left over by his father he's not going to bring. But the other karbanos said, though, he's going to bring. And so now, can he affect tamura with the karbanos that he inherited from his father? And this is, we're going to see in just a moment, is the machlokes hatanayim. And so what we could do is we could squeeze it into the Mishnah. Meaning maybe that's the hakol, maybe that's what the Mishnah is looking to include. Admittedly, says the Gemara, not everyone agrees to this, but for those who subscribe to it, maybe that's what the Mishnah is coming to include. The Mishnah starts off, Yarish Shaloka Rabbi Yehuda. Did not we learn from the Mishnah, Yarish Shamech, Yarish Meimir, Divir Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says that a Yarish could do the mitzvah of smicha. Before the animal shechted, immediately before the animal shechted, so the owner of the animal is going to put his hands on the animal, lean on the animal, this is a mitzvah of smicha. The idea that it connotes is that you are basically transferring yourself onto the animal as if you yourself are being offered. Anyway, the mitzvah of smicha. So Yarish, when he's offering his father's karbanos, so he'll do the mitzvah of smicha, he'll also be able to affect tamura, right? And I'm going to speak very carefully over here. We don't want him to do tamura. Nobody wants to do tamura. But at least he can affect tamura if, in fact, he attempts to do so. Divrei Rav Meir. So that's the opinion of Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Yarish, Veino Somech. And Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that he can do neither. Neither can he. Neither does he do the smicha, nor can he affect tamura. Okay, so these are this is a machlokus. Right now, we don't know any rhyme or reason behind the machlokus. We simply know right now there's a machlokus. And so what we're saying is that our mission, when the Mishnah says hakol mamirin, is coming to include somebody. So that somebody we're coming to include is the yorish. But that, of course, only goes according to the opinion of Rav Meir, not according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda. My time at the Rav Yehuda, so the Gemara would like a better understanding of this machlokus between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. What are the underpinnings of the machlokus? So the Gemara starts off with the position of Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yehuda, as you remember, says that neither can a Yarish do can affect Tamura, nor is a Yarish going to be doing the mitzvah of smicha with his father's karbanos. So why should that be? So Yalav Tchilas Hektish Misof Hektish. We're going to learn out the beginning of Hektish to the end of Hektish. Masof Hektish Yarish Eino Somech. Av Tchilas Hektish Yorish Eino Meimer. So at the end of Hektesh, so the Yorish is not going to be Somech, and at the so too at the beginning of Hektesh, the Yorish is not going to affect Tamura. Now, we're looking at the beginning and the end of the process. Now, this is where it gets a little bit tricky. Is Tamura the beginning of the process and the end of the process? I'm going to submit to you the correct answer is both. It's both. Because if you think about it, what is Tamura? Tamura is basically where I, on one hand, had a carbon, and I now want to attempt to exchange this carbon onto another animal. So where are we in the Kedusha process? We're well into it. In fact, one can argue we're at the end of the process. Meaning that now, at the tail end of this animal's Kedusha, I'm now transferring it over to another animal. So to a certain degree, we could call it the Sof. We could call it the end. On the other hand, when you affect Tamura, what do you have now? A brand new carbon. Brand new carbon. An animal that it was not imbued with Kedusha that now, through the act of Tamura, is going to be embedded with Kedusha. So it really is the beginning of a process. So when we ask the question, Tamura, is that the Sof Hektesh or that's Tchilas Hektesh? To a certain degree, the answer can be both. And not only can it be both, but depending on the context of the Gemara, sometimes we're going to say it's either the beginning, sometimes we're going to say it's the end. Rashi makes this observation. That's not me making this observation. In the meantime, however, for our purposes in our discussion, we are going to call it the beginning. Why? Because look what we're contrasting it with. We're contrasting it to smicha. Now, smicha is unequivocal. Smicha is done tekef l'shchita. Immediately before shechting the animal as a karban, so what you're going to do is you're going to do smicha. It's the last thing that's done before shchita. So for sure, smicha is going to be at the end of the process. So since smicha is at the end of the process, so therefore, tamura, as we're discussing right now, is going to be considered the beginning of the process.
Okay. So instead of saying
just to make sure that it fits in line with the beginning versus the end. Okay, it's a fair observation. That is the way to understand that in this context, tamura is the beginning, smicha is the end. Okay. Now, smicha, what Rav Yehuda is going to argue is that smicha, a yorish cannot do smicha. And so now that's the sof hekdesh. So if that's true, sof hekdesh, so we're going to assume a consistency throughout the hekdesh. If at the end of hekdesh, your yorish is unable to do smicha, so that means at the beginning of hekdesh, your yorish is unavailable to effect temura. Okay. Usmicha gufa minalan? It of course only begs the next question. Well, how do I know that by smicha, a yorish cannot do smicha? So, t'las karbanoksif. So the Gemara says, well, if you open up to the beginning of Vayikra, what you're going to note over there is that it says the word karbano, and it says it on three separate occasions. Now, karbano means that the karban has to be yours. So it talks about possession, it talks about ownership. It has to be your karban. The fact that it says it three times is there to instruct us on three different types of ownerships. Chad karbano v'lo karbano v'kochavim. So to your karban, meaning yours, the collective you, and not the carbon of a non-Jew. Carbon of a non-Jew, which can be offered, a carbon, an Ovei Kochavim is allowed to put aside a carbon ola and offer a carbon ola up onto the Mizbeach, but it will be done sans smicha. Smicha will not be done with that carbon. Number two, v'chal carbon of a carbon chavero, you can do the mitzvah of smicha on your carbon, but you cannot do smicha on your friend's carbon. V'chad karbanov v'lo karban aviv. And the third one now, and look, what we keep doing is we just keep whittling away. We start off by excluding the carbon of a non-Jew, then the carbon of your friend, and now the one who you would think that you have some sort of attachment to, greater attachment to, i.e. the carbon that you inherited. In other words, it is now your estate, but nevertheless, it's not your carbon, and therefore you're not going to do smicha, and that's what we're going to learn from the third miyot of karbano. Now the Gemara says, now according to Reb Meir, who is of the opinion that a Yorish does in fact do smicha, now the Pasuk says karbano, so what is he going to do with that? So according to Rabbi Meir, what we learn out from the word karbano is actually not an exclusion, but rather an inclusion. And what we learn from there is that if, let's say, we have a partnership over a collective karban, right? A group of people put their monies together in order to purchase a karban. Can you have partners owning a karban? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. How is it going to work regarding the smicha? How are the partnership going to handle the smicha? So the way they're going to handle it is very simple. They're all going to do smicha. So according to Rebbe Meir, that is exactly what is learned out from the word karbano. Karbano is coming to teach us that as long as they have an ownership interest in the karban, so then there is a mitzvah to do smicha. This is the third drasha according to Rebbe Meir. How exactly are the partnership group going to do smicha? That's a lot of hands on the head of a very small animal. So we quoted the Rambam before. The Rambam said it very clearly, zechar zeh, that each one of the partnership groups are going to be doing it one after the other, and so that each one is going to have a collective turn of doing smicha on this animal. Okay, senior partner, by the way, goes last. I just made that up. Okay, fine. Okay, so the kol bali chovim l'smicha. Rabbi Yehuda bali chovim l'smicha lesle. So, and as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, bali chovim do not do smicha. My time, the halom yachid carbon didu, because the carbon cannot be exclusively pointed to any single individual. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the group does not do smicha. Ibai zema l'olam islay. So the Gemara says, or you can argue as follows. That maybe Rabbi Yehuda would concede the point that a partnership group would be doing smicha, just like Rabbi Meir. I need one of the karbanos to exclude that of a yoresh. So the karbano v'kochav v'karban chaver mechad kar nafka. The iyaser lechad lebalechov v'smicha. And then it's just simply be a question of how to consolidate the drushas. We'll take the karban of the v'kochav, consolidate with karban chavero, meaning they're both quote unquote outsider karbanos. So they're going to be excluded from one drasha. So fine. So that now leaves us a second drasha. Second drasha will exclude Second drasha will exclude the
carbon
chavero. No, the Gemara just consolidated. Right. One drasha for Ovi Kochavim Chavero. A second drasha for Yoresh. But there's a third drasha. And the third drasha will be, is the riboy for the partnership. That each member of the partnership is going to be doing smicha. Okay, adkan. Okay, so what do we have right now? So in our Gemara, we have the word hakol. Hakol is coming to be obviously inclusive. It means more people than you thought. The Mishnah already listed men and women, so that already covers a significant number of the population. Who else is coming to be? Is it coming to cover? So the Gemara is suggesting right now that it's coming to include a Yarish. A Yarish who is not the owner of the animal but inherited the animal. Machlokshin Ramein Rav Yehuda, whether the Yarish could do smicha. Shitas Rabbi Meir is that a Yarish can do smicha, and maybe that's what the Mishnah is coming to include. Obviously, then it would exclude the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would obviously not agree with that. Continuing now in the Gemara, we're on the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph. Rav Meir Dama Yarish Meimir Mai Taima. Now let's go to the other side. Let's go to Rav Meir. A Yarish can affect Tamura. Now, under what basis can he do so? Amlacha Im Hemir Yamir Le Rabbi Sayarish. So the Torah with the double language of Im Hemir Yamir. So that's coming to include the Yarish. So fine. So the Gemara says V'yalif Sof Hektish Mitzchilas Hektish. And now all we're going to do is we're just going to go in the other direction. Meaning we're going to learn the end of Hektish, which is Smicha, from the beginning of Hektish, which is Temura, as we now are on the top of Beis Amud Beis, Matchilas Hektish Yorish Meimir, Afsof Hektish Yorish Somech. Okay, so we're basically going to start off with the Ribui of Im Hemir Yamir, which comes to teach us that even the Yorish can do Smicha, and extend that over to Smicha as well. Rav Yehuda V'im Hemir Yamir Mayavidlei. Good. And now the classic back and forth. What is Rav Yehuda going to be doing with the additional words of Im Hemir Yamir? So that's coming to include a woman. I mean, a woman can affect Temura. Now, we know that from the Mishnah, but that only begs the question, how do we know that? What's the source of that? So, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. L'fisha kol enyan kulo ayna medabre el alashon zachar. Shenemar lo yachlifenu velo yamir. So, if you look at the Pasuk grammatically, the Pasuk is speaking in lashon zachar, in the masculine, as if it's only speaking to a man. So how do I know that a woman can affect Temura? So Isha minayin tamalam revi mehemer yamir. L'rabos is a Isha. So the double language is coming to include a woman. And that is Rabbi Yehuda's darshaning of the additional word of him hamir yamir. Ula remeir Isha minale. Now according to Remeir, how does he know to include that? Because remember that according to Remeir, im hamir yamir was the inclusionary term that included the yaresh. So how does he know to include a woman? Nafkalei mi ve'im. So he learns that out from the word v'im. V'im is there to include the female population. Rav Yehuda v'im lo darish. Now as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, he doesn't darshan the word im. Okay, so what we have between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is now an assortment of how to darshan the psukim, the pasuk of im hamer yamir. What do we do with that extra language? A drasha for Rav Meir, a drasha for Rav Yehuda. The Gemara now notes that this discussion that we've had now for the last couple of minutes has been a strange discussion, meaning that we've been looking for a drasha to include a woman in the effectiveness of Temura. Now, Temura at its base, what is it? It's really a lav. It's a lav in the Torah. So if the iser of being mamer, of exchanging the kedusha from one animal to another, or the attempted exchange of kedusha from one animal to another, if it's just a lav in the Torah, so don't we say that every lav a woman is automatically included in? And it's been now a strange discussion that we've been looking for drashas. I'm either going to generate it from the additional of the word v'im. I'm either going to learn it out from hamer yamir. We're looking for additional drashas to include women in a lav in the Torah. Why should I need that? Ubein ramir, bein rav Yehuda, time de rabbi kra l'isha. Halo rabbi kra, hava miniki, avadet t'tumor lo lakya. So the Gemara over here now is bothered by exactly this this premise that without the special drasha, here's what I would have thought: that if a woman attempts to affect Temura, she's not going to be subject to Malkus. What are you talking about? It's a law in the Torah. A woman's included in every one of the law in the Torah. V'hama Rav Yehuda, Ama Rav Echin, Tana Debe Rav Yishmael, Ish O Isha, Ki Yasu Mikol Chatas Adam, Hishva Hakasav Isha Li Ish L'chol Onshin Shebe Torah. When it comes to anything which is punishable, i.e. a law in the Torah, so men and women are working with an equivalency. So if a man is going to be subject to a love in the Torah, a woman is going to equally be subject to the same love. And so why over here would I have even entertained the idea that a woman's not included in the Isser of Temura, and only because we have an additional special drasha are women going to be included? So the Gemara is basically puzzled. The Gemara offers an answer. Itzerich ma'u detema hanimili onish teshava ben biyachid ben betzibor. So the Gemara says, well, I would have thought that men and women are on equivalency, but that's only specifically when the lav is a universal lav. It applies both by a yachid, both by a tzibor. Now over here, it is something that is not something which is equivalent to all. Dinan ein hatzibar v'ashufim osin tamura. So we already know that in terms of the Isser Tamura, there are groups that are going to be excluded from the Isser Tamura. In fact, a communal carbon impervious to Tamura. Meaning, or let me say it better, you can't affect Tamura with a carbon seabor.
Who's going to do it if it belongs to the whole community?
So, well, you know, somebody will be in charge. Somebody always takes charge. So, some representative. Or a partnership. If I have a carbon that's owned by a partnership group, so that also is not going to be subject to Tamura. Tamura is only going to be by a carbon that is owned by a single individual. So already you see that by Tamura, it does not incorporate and does not include everybody. So already now that there are built-in exclusions to Tamura and who can affect, so Ishanami ki avda lalakya. So that's the Gemara's thought, that's the premise of the Gemara, that therefore if a woman's not going to do it, she is not going to be subject to Tamura. Okay, and so as a result of that, I need an additional drasha to, so to say, bring back the woman into the fold of Tamura, because it doesn't operate like a typical, like a standard lav. And that's why we have a special drasha that brings women back in. So Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush of why I need a drasha to include women. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So far in today's daf, we have introduced ourselves to the concept of Tamura. It's not something which we condone, in fact, condemn. It's an Isser in the Torah. When we say Hakol Mamir, we just simply means that it's an effective Tamura. Everyone can affect Tamura, both men and women. And who else do we stand to include? So in the Gemara's first discussion, it stands to include a Yorish. A Yorish can affect Tamura, although that is subject to a Machlokas HaTanayim. Rabbi Meir says a Yorish can do affect Tamura. Rabbi Yehuda says a Yorish cannot affect Tamura. And our Mishnah, if the suggestion is in fact a valid suggestion, our Mishnah would only be going like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Which is, by the way, generally fine, meaning Stam Mishnah Karev Meir. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. So that from that detail, it works out nicely. We are now on Beis Amud Beis, halfway down the Amud, by Rami Bar Chama. Katan Mahu Shiyamir. Can a Katan affect Tamura? Now, a minor. Now, of course, we know that a minor is not subject to the Lavim in the Torah. And a minor also can, for the most part, be limited in terms of what transactions he can make. And so the Gemara suggestion over here is a little bit strange, that a katan can affect Tamura. So, Mao Shiyamir, Heichidami, Ilem, and Bekatan Shaloya, Naonas, Nadarim. Are we talking about where the katan has not yet reached the age of Onas, Nadarim? I'll explain that better in just a moment. So, Lo Tibailach, the Kevinak Dushi, Lo Akdish, Imura Meimir. So the Gemara says, look, if he has not gotten to the point of Onas, Nadarim, so then there is simply nothing to talk about. He can't be Makdish, an animal. So for sure, he cannot affect Tamura. Look, if you're in a position where you can't even inject the original Kedusha into an animal, so for sure, you're not going to be in a position where I can at least attempt to violate the law in the Torah to transfer the Kedusha from one carbon to another carbon.
There's nothing to transfer.
Well, I mean, even if there is, it's just simply ineffective. So, Eloki kami by lebekan shigil onas adarim. So we're talking about a cotton who has arrived to the point of onas adarim. Okay, and so now, for a moment, let's pause and let's understand Onas Nadarim. Onas Nadarim is a concept that we've gone through, we've covered many times throughout Shas, and that's the idea, that's the following idea. When it comes to a ability to make a neder, so it has to be hafla, it has to be articulation. So you basically have to know what you're talking about, you have to understand the ramifications of the neder which you make. Okay, and sometimes, by the way, when we make the Nadarim, we're in an emotional state, and so intellectually we understand, but emotionally, you know, we get a little bit carried away. But still, there has to be basic articulation and basic understanding. Interesting that when it comes to a katan who is not yet chayv in mitzvos, however, when it comes to nedarim based on drashas, so we know that if a young man who is above the age of 12, a year yet removed from his bar mitzvah, so he can make a neder, assuming that he has the basic cognitive understanding, the mental faculty to understand the ramifications of his statement. So this is what's called Onas Nadarim. And so that means that a 12-year-old boy, again, with the assumption that he has his basic understanding of what it means to make a neder, can do so. Similarly, a woman, a young lady, who is 11 years of age, so she's a year away from her bas mitzvah, if she can show and demonstrate she has the mental faculty to understand the ramifications of her statement, so she too can make a neder. And so what the Gemara is saying is that here's our question on the table. Can we have a katan effect tamura when the katan has arrived at the point of onas nadarim? Mi amrin kevin da amar ish matam lamar ki afli neder Lerabos mufla samach liish the kacho kadosh. So the ikdushe magdish imurinami memir. So on one hand we have the inclusion that says that ish ki afli, and the afli is an inclusionary term. It means that as long as the young man has reached the point of articulation, 12 years and above, clear understanding of what he's saying, so he can affect a karban. He can actually be makdish a karban. So as such, so maybe he can affect tamura. Sounds like a very logical argument. On the other hand, Danny, you are approaching the other hand of the question. On the other hand, Odilma came into Labar Oshinhu, but Tamura Lamatvis. Or maybe, even though Tamura is affecting a carbon, on the other hand, it's also a lav in the Torah. And maybe its characterization is maybe much more of a lav than that of affecting Kedusha. Meaning Tamura is twofold. One, you're affecting Kedusha. Two, you're violating a lav in the Torah. And maybe its main characteristic is that it's a lav in the Torah. And being that this mufla, this young man who is not yet bar mitzvah, not subject to Isurim, so maybe he will not be in a position where he can be makdish a karban. So imtim salamakadna vitamura dayasi lechlal onshin. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's start off the discussion here. Let's suggest that he can affect tamura, even though, now, well, before I get to the even though, he is a mufla samachlish, and he can inject kedusha into a regular animal and make it a karban. And even though currently he's not a bar onshin, but just give him a little bit of time. In less than a year, he's a bar onshin. Which means that at least now in his current condition, we actually see the roots and the potential of him becoming a bar onshin. So he has the hafla'a, and in terms of onshin, not yet, but at least it's there, it's rooted in him. So the Gemara says, so let's assume right now that the cotton can affect tamura. Now, ove kochavim mahu shiyamir. So now let's go a step further. What about a non-Jew? So mi amar midakdushe makdish etan ish matam lamar ish lerabos esov dikochavim shenodrim nedarim unedavos kiso. So on one hand we have the guy, and the starting point for the guy, he can be makdish an animal. He can infuse an animal with kedusha to be brought as a karban. The Torah tells us that a guy, if he would like to, can bring a neder to the base of mikdash and offer a karban neder. We've discussed this at length previously, and so we know that a guy can affect kedusha, and so now step two of the question: can he be meimer? So imuri nami meimer. So on one hand, is tamura just simply a function of imbuing kedusha? Once we have demonstrated that a guy can imbue kedusha, so therefore he can be meimer as well. He can affect tamura. Odilma kevin delasi lechlal onshin ki have a tamura lo kedusha. Or maybe no. Maybe over here when it comes to the guy, so he's going to be excluded. Why? Because unlike our mufla, our young Jewish man, 11 years of age, so he, I'm sorry, 12 years of age, where he's going to be in a position where at least potentially he's going to become a bar onshin in less than a year from now. But when it comes to our ovi kochavim, who is not subject to onshin, now I understand there are a select number of mitzvahs that he subscribes to. And if he doesn't do them, he's punishable by them. But in the world of karbanos, so there is no onish for him. He's not going to be subject to Malkus if he tries to affect Tamura. He'll never be subject to Malkus when he tries to affect Tamura. So maybe then for our guy, he is going to be excluded from Tamura altogether. Teku, the Gemara leaves that question unresolved. The Gemara does not say the word Teku. the Gemara just leaves that question alone. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. More to speak about regarding the carbon of a guy. Tomorrow we speak about the topic of lav shein b'maisa. How come you're getting malchus for tamura when meanwhile it's just a verbalization and it's not an action, and that normally does not warrant a malchus. So that's coming up tomorrow as well. So quickly recap: our Mishnah today introduces us to tamura. It's not something that one should want to do. It's a lav in the Torah. The only thing the Mishnah is saying with the word Takol Meimirim is everybody can affect Tamura. But in terms of wanting to do so you don't want to do so. It's a law in the Torah. And the Mishnah says, Hakol, who is that coming to include? Obviously, men and women are already singled out in the Mishnah. So who is it coming to include? The Yerush, although subject to a Machlok, Chin Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir says the Yerush can affect Tamura. I'm just following like the opinion of Rebbe Meir. And finally, a couple of questions that we ended off the daf with. Mufla samachlish, a child who's not yet bar mitzvah, can he affect tamura? We know that he has the ability to inject kedusha originally into an animal and make it a carbon. So then can he make the jump of exchanging it from one carbon to another carbon? So the Gemara says, unsure. He, on one hand, can do the original Kedusha, but for the second Kedusha, there's a loft attached to that, and he's not yet a Bar Onshin. Can a Goy affect Temura? Again, similar question. He can affect the Kedusha to begin with. He can input the Kedusha to begin with. So can he now just simply make the jump? But it's different than that of a Mufla, because with the Mufla, he's not punishable now, but he will be punishable in the very near future. When it comes to the Ovi Kochavim, he's never subject to the Malchus punishment for Temura. And so therefore, he may be totally excluded. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved.
Sure. Thank you, Rabbi.